All right. Well, it's good to be together and definitely excited to be doing the lesson tonight. Like Rob said, we're going to be talking about spiritual rest. We're going to be talking a little bit about Sabbath and just looking at what the scriptures have to say about what is Sabbath, why do we need rest, what is it really about, what kind of rest are we talking about? And so I really hope tonight, by the end of this lesson, the heart behind spiritual rest and Sabbath can be answered. We are going to have a time of Q&A at the end of the lesson. So definitely, as we're getting in the scriptures together, as you're listening, feel free to jot down any questions you have or any things you want to share at the end. But I just want to start with kind of answering this question of why are we doing this lesson, which Rob was already just touching on this. But as you guys know, we live in a city and a culture that is go, go, go. It is nonstop. We're living in a city that's all about nonstop express trains, all about getting food fast to you, Grubhub. I mean, we want things, we want them now, and we're the hustle city. We hurry, we get things done. People are rushing from one appointment to another. And the idea of rest just kind of gets lost in this craziness of New York City. We're known around the world, around the globe, to be the city that never sleeps, the city that never rests. Rest is like, ah, oh, that's for chumps. We don't rest. We just grind. We work, right? That's the air we breathe, especially as undergraduate students and grad students in New York City who are even more on the grind, plus maybe working a job. So, as Christians, we have to figure out how to not let this culture inform our discipleship and inform how we rest and how we spend our time. Because if we're not careful, we will be slaves to work. We will be slaves to the culture that we are surrounded by, and we will burn out. But obviously, God doesn't want that. God wants us to find rest in Him, not just for one day a week, not just for momentary rest, but living a life that's encompassed by resting in God. And so we got to learn how to rest. We got to learn how to stop and take breaks and enjoy ourselves this summer. And we felt like this would be a timely time to talk about spiritual rest as we're enjoying summer. And as a lot of you don't have classes, and hopefully you can begin to practice more of these biblical principles of spiritual rest this summer and continue to practice them even into the fall as you begin school. And so we got to be careful to not find our identity in how much work we get done or our productivity, but instead to get our identity in how God loved us before we ever did any work, before we ever did anything right or productive. We have to get our identity in simply how God sees us as his sons and daughters whom he loves, and not to get it from our, again, productivity or how much we do or how much we can get done in a given week. So I want to start, we're going to read in Genesis 1 here in a second. So if you want to turn over there, you can. But I thought it'd be good just to start with talking about a little history of Sabbath in the Bible, and to kind of walk through that. Obviously, where we're going to end up is talking about the new covenant and being Christians and how we should view rest. So we're going to get there, but it's important to see that this concept of rest starts on page one of the Bible. It's so clearly a theme all throughout Scripture. And so before we look at the scripture in Genesis 1, I want to talk about two Hebrew words for rest. One is Shabbat, which literally means to stop, right? To cease what you're doing, to stop. And so if you think of like an hourly job where you clock out at the end of work and you stop your hours, that's that idea of Shabbat. It's stopping, ceasing, halting your work. So that's a common word that we see throughout the Old and New Testament for Sabbath. Again, that's how we say it in English, Sabbath or Shabbat, meaning rest. The other main Hebrew word that's used for rest is this word nuach. And the word nuach is a little bit different, but it's also, we got two Hebrew words used for rest in the same chapter of Genesis. But this word nuach means to dwell or to settle in. to settle. And so this is different from the idea of like stopping or clocking out of work. This is more like the idea of settling in, more like sitting in front of a nice fireplace with your loved one during the dead of winter and just dwelling in that moment, enjoying it, resting in the moment, being present to God and his creation, being present to his love. This word nuach is essentially about being restfully present. Not anxious, not hurrying, not being overly worked, but being restfully present. So we see these two words throughout the Old Testament. And so what we're going to do here is read Genesis 1, starting in verse, we'll just read the last verse of chapter 1, and then we'll read the beginning of chapter 2. So let's check this out here, Genesis 1, 31. This is after, again, God has done his amazing creating the universe. So it says, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, meaning he set it apart. Because on it, he rested from all the work creating that he had done. We'll stop there. You guys have read this before. It's obviously a very well-known passage, the creation account. But in this passage, God leads by example here in the beginning of Genesis as he rests from work. That's the word Shabbat, right? As he stops from working. And then he dwells together with the very people he created, which is that word nuach. So we see these two words, two different words for rest right at the beginning as we come to know God and his nature in the book of Genesis, right? So the first time this word rest is used in the Bible is to describe God himself stopping in his task, a very epic task of creating the universe. So even just right off the bat, we should kind of take notice that, okay, this is important to God, that he's going to stop creating all things and put in scripture for people to read for thousands of years that God stopped Shabbat and he nuached, he dwelt, he enjoyed the very thing that he made. God's original intent for Sabbath was this, to have unity with God, unity with creation, and with one another as human beings. Unity between God, creation, and one another. A regular rhythmic time of rest is right here in the opening story of Scripture. It's right here even before the fall, before humans turned away from God, right? Before we see that happen, we see God setting an example for us of rest. And we have to keep in mind that Genesis was written to the ancient people of Israel, right? Who were enslaved workers in Egypt. I mean, that's the best way to categorize them, as slaves to their work. And so for this ancient people group, their identity was very much so wrapped up in their work and just getting it done, being in the hot sun all day long and being slaves to their work. That's where they found their identity. And if they weren't working, they weren't really finding life. They couldn't support themselves. They couldn't be safe. They couldn't provide for their family. And so God, as God's writing through Genesis here, he's very intentional to show this ancient people group that even God rests, that you need to find not your identity and what you do in a given day, but God's telling his people through this amazing creation account, he's setting it up and he's telling them, get your identity from me and how I see you, how I love you, and how I've created you, and I want to dwell with you. That's what we must get our identity in. And so let's remember that, you know, especially anytime as you read Genesis that's written to a specific people that understand this concept of the temple, understand this concept of work And God's saying, hey, you are more than what you do. You are more than what you can put out. You are who I've made you to be. And so eventually, as we continue with this history of Sabbath, God would later reveal the Ten Commandments to Moses. And God, in those commandments, commanded that we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? It's in the Ten Commandments. Most of you know that. But later, the Sabbath was observed as a reminder of deliverance of Israel from their bondage in Egypt, right? As we continue reading, obviously we have the Exodus, and Sabbath is made to remind them of what God did, being freed from their slavery. And so Sabbath is given this kind of perpetual covenant in the Old Testament, and it's really this constant reminder that the Lord wants to sanctify his people. He wants us to Shabbat. He wants us to stop, remember where we came from, remember the God we serve, and to dwell with him, and to remember that he is where we need to get our value from. And so this is what we see practiced throughout the law. This is what the people of God were commanded to do. And so they practiced Shabbat. They practiced this in their lives as it was one of the Ten Commandments. But what about in the New Testament, right? What about, especially for us, as we're people that are not Jews, but we're trying to follow Jesus in this new covenant and in the resurrection. So how should we view Sabbath and this idea of spiritual rest as disciples, as Christians? So let's talk about that a little bit. Most of you guys know that Jesus in the Gospels is challenged by the religious teachers of the law, and he's really called out by them that he and his disciples are not practicing Sabbath. And so initially, just at first glance of scripture, people can start to think, does Jesus care about Sabbath? Is he about this? But we're going to read a scripture here that, and we're going to kind of break it down to see, what did Jesus think of Sabbath? Did he practice it? What was his perspective on it? How did he teach it to others? Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. We're going to start there and read this encounter. So skipping forward, we're not in Genesis anymore. Jesus is on the scene, and he is really embodying this idea of dwelling with God and resting in God. So Mark 2, 23, it says, on Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Verse 27, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. We'll stop there. Okay, so this encounter is very interesting here. But what Jesus is doing primarily is he's trying to help them get back to the heart of why Sabbath was put in place by God in the first place, right? And basically what's happened here is the Jewish people have lost the meaning and the purpose of Sabbath. Just like there's many things they've lost the heart of, as Jesus calls them out many times in the gospel. But just for a little background of why these teachers of the law are so strict on Jesus, it's because in Exodus, in their law, Jewish law, in the Torah, breaking the Sabbath, it was like a deadly grave matter, right? God's law demanded death for those who ignored Sabbath and did not practice it correctly. And so again, these Jews feel like we're doing what's right. We're enforcing this law, right? But I think we need to see what Jesus is getting at here, specifically at the end of this passage in verse 27, right? What he's getting at here is that God, he had given the law to encourage the Israelites to love him and to love others. That's very simply put, but it's this guide that's going to help them love God and love others. But God never in scripture prohibited doing good, on the Sabbath. That's something that the people started to implement and these religious teachers of the law over time. But God never said we should stop doing good when we rest. And so the Pharisees acted as if God had created people so that he would have someone to keep the Sabbath, right? As if that's kind of what all we're for. But Jesus clarifies here that God had given the Sabbath as a gift to the very people he created to bring us closer to God, right? So Jesus is saying, listen, Sabbath was made for man. God didn't create you humans just to be slaves to the stringent Sabbath law, and if you mess it up, you need to die, right? Jesus is saying, no, God gifted us this teaching of rest, and he put this in place so that we could do good, so that we could love each other, dwell with God, and know him. And so the key teaching here, in summary, is the Pharisees, for them, the Ten Commandments provided great restrictions punishable by death. But for Jesus, the law outlined great freedoms that lead to life. The law wasn't just about restrict you, you know, be a killjoy. No, Jesus was saying, actually, these are great laws that can bring you life and freedom if you understand the heart of them. And so I hope this makes sense to you guys, but Jesus, he's trying to really usher in eternal rest. This bigger than just a day in the week, but man, we need to dwell with God. We can't be about just knowing rules and laws and just burdening people with all these different laws. No, God wants freedom for people. God wants to lighten our load. God wants to bring us more life, not more death. And so Jesus is trying to teach us something here about Sabbath. And even for me, when I read that, when it says Sabbath was made for man, I'm like, wow, God was very intentional to put this in place. And so if I'm not resting, and if I'm not being intentional about my rest each week, physical, spiritual, emotional, then I'm missing out on something God says is in the DNA of being human. I'm missing out on something that God says I need in order to be close to him, right? And so obviously Jesus worked very hard, right? As we keep talking about, how did Jesus use Sabbath? Man, as we read the Gospels, Jesus, sometimes it feels like, does he rest, right? But he does. He finds his strength from God, but he's serving people all day long. He's teaching. He's feeding 5,000 people, and then he's dealing with his knucklehead disciples as they're freaking out on the sea and the storm comes, right? But Jesus, even though he worked hard, he was able to serve with such vigor and passion because he rested in God and because he did practice spiritual rest. And so in short, for Jesus, Sabbath observance, it pointed to something greater. It pointed beyond just a Sabbath day, which is a great God. And so Jesus said, I'm not going to stop there, but I'm going to show people how to dwell with God by literally being this constant mobile presence of God that people could have access to, this walking temple, dwelling with God, hour by hour, minute by minute. And what Jesus is going to say in Matthew 11 is actually, I'm where you can find rest because I'm one with God. Because Jesus, and this is kind of, if there's a main point that you want to say for this lesson is that Jesus wants to give you rest. I don't know if you're feeling tired, even though it's summer. I don't know if you're feeling fatigued, but Jesus wants to give you true rest. Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Let's read here. In verse 28, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Man, that's powerful. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You guys know this passage, right? Super encouraging. We turn here a lot. You need to take notice that this passage is said, and Jesus says this right before the writer of the Gospel, Matthew, right after he's going to bring up these passages about Sabbath as Jesus encountered these religious teachers. And so this moment in verses 28 to 30, Matthew's doing something here as he's writing this gospel. He's trying to communicate something. And it seems pretty clear that in this time, in Jesus's time, that God's people had become weary and burdened by the heavy weight of observing Sabbath and not doing it right. Like literally they were finding a lack of rest from something that was supposed to bring them rest. Like that's how much we mess things up as humans. God's like, I made something for you to rest. And we're like, we're going to actually make it be a burden. And so Jesus hoped to redefine Sabbath, right? And so Matthew's saying, let's let the reader see here that Jesus is offering these burdened Jews rest. And he's offering them true rest. And so the Jewish people and us were in need of rest, both in ceasing from hard work, right, Shabbat, and being present together with God. They needed both of that, both the Shabbat and the Nuach. And so Jesus, he ushers in this promise of having both, of not just being freaking out that we're celebrating Sabbath, right, but he's saying, no, I want to actually free you from that burden. And so he reminds the people of God, again, of this actual intent of Sabbath, which is unity with God, unity with creation, unity with each other, which again, we find this in the Garden of Eden. And so as Christians, we got to realize that God wants to give us rest. He wants to be the kind of God, be the kind of friend and father that helps us to take a step back, stop our homework, stop our 9-to-5 for 10 minutes, and remember, your life isn't all about your work. Yes, that's part of it. But life is about being aware of God, of dwelling with God. And so I want to ask you, are you tired? That's a broad question that could hit you in a lot of different ways, but are you tired? Are you tired emotionally? Are you tired spiritually? Are you tired physically? Are you tired mentally? Right? And if you're tired, one, it might just be maybe you didn't sleep well last night like me. I'm trying to find rest in God today. But another reason you might be tired is because you're simply not practicing spiritual rest. You're having rushed quiet times. You're going to bed really late and waking up too early, right? Maybe God's trying to get your attention and say, hey, son or daughter, I've put something here in scripture for you to see that I need you to rest. I need you to take moments to stop and to find rest in me. And so at this time, Hannah and I want to share a little bit personally about kind of this learning curve for us and things we've had to learn as we come in for a landing here. And we just want to share about kind of what we've had to learn as we've been trying to practice spiritual rest for the past couple months and what we've gotten from that. So you want to sit over here?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sharing from a few years ago, yeah. Just because I think it's a little bit relatable for college students. Hey, Brittany. So I remember, so when I was in college, and you guys might relate to a busy schedule, I was just talking to Rachel about this actually, like all of you guys are in school, have jobs, or you just are giving your heart to so many things. And I relate to that. And I was sitting down with a mentor when I was in college and I was showing her my schedule because so many times she kept telling me like, okay, when do you rest? When do you rest? And I'm like, let me just show her. So I brought my planner to our time together and I said, so this is my week. And she's like, okay, when are you going to rest? And I said, you're not listening to me. Like, this is my week. I can't rest. This is me just proving that to you. Like I have work, I have school, I have to study. I have X like workout training that I have to go to, just all these things that I put on myself, honestly, like some of these things I really didn't need to do. But yeah, after sitting down, talking to her, she shared some things with me. I didn't really fully understand the scriptures in the way that I'm learning now about rest, but I still was able to, yeah, it was Shauna. I just saw your message, Chelsea, but yeah. So I still started to put it into practice. I reasoned with her a little bit. I did half of a Saturday where I like, not even half, until I gave myself, okay, until 1 p.m. on Saturday, I'm going to do things that are restful for me. And for the first few times, that was binge watching Netflix shows that I love. And I was just like on my couch. And then I slowly realized like, now I need a nap, or like I'm exhausted. And that was like not actually restful. So then I started to think about like, what is good for my soul? And I used those Saturday mornings as like just extra special time with God. I thought of them as like dates with God. And so I would either go out in nature or just put my phone far away and just get extra time in my favorite Bible that I was reading, or I'd just read spiritual books, or I'd go to my favorite coffee shop, just all the things that I felt like genuinely gave me rest, and I protected that time. And so that was just like really special to finally learn that in college, like what actually was restful to me and what, yeah, I don't know. That's all I wanted to share.
Amen. And I had similar things that I had to learn in college as well, and as an intern. But over the past couple months, you know, Hannah and I don't know, I guess 4 months ago or something like that, decided to take Mondays as really a day of rest and to try to practice having a day of rest each week. We were trying to do Saturdays, and Saturdays there were always things going on. We weren't able to rest. So we get home Sunday night, Sunday evening, and we begin our Sabbath and really resting in God. And for me, my learning curve has been, because I now have an intentional day where I rest and don't do work. Oh my goodness. My first two Mondays, it was like I was just ticking, trying to do some sort of to-do list item. Like, I could do that really quick. I could text back that brother. Oh, I could make that quick graphic design to put on Instagram. And I had to literally say, no, you're going to not work today. You can do that tomorrow. Right. And again, not that we want to be legalistic, but I think what I was finding is so much of my thought life and the way I did my day was just in productivity. And I couldn't just stop for an hour and just enjoy being with God. And it was very convicting. And I'm still learning. There's still times in the day each Monday where I'm tempted to do something that I know I could do 4 days later. But God's teaching me how to just enjoy who He is, how to love reading His word for long chunks at a time, how to pray longer. I'm noticing that I'm able to pray for a longer amount of time and it still feels short. You know, there was a time where praying for 20 minutes felt like 2 hours. Now praying for 20 minutes for me feels more like 10 minutes, you know, especially if I'm walking outside, I have to get outside. But God's working on my heart. And I'm starting to see the benefits of this. I also see my Monday bleeding over into my week, where I'm able to still be at peace. And even with a busy schedule in the week, I'm not confined by my schedule. I'm still able to take a pause in the day and find rest in God. And so we want to end with some practicals here. As you know, all of this can kind of, it can be hard to get down to some serious practicals, but we're going to get practical here for you guys as you think about what this means for you and your life. But I want to start with a quote here before we get into these practicals. There's a quote by this theologian, Mark Buchanan, and he says, "Most of the things we need to be most fully alive never come in busyness, but they grow in rest." So sometimes when we want more and we think we have to do more, sometimes God's actually saying, you need to just stop and you need to just meditate and you need to think. And so discipleship is this beautiful interruption to your daily life. right? Discipleship, especially when it comes to rest, it's we got to be willing to let discipleship and obeying God and this kind of rest, we got to let rest interrupt our lives. We got to be intentional about that, right? We got to really think about how am I really resting? Sabbath, to be clear here, is not a commandment that we are bound to, but it's a promise we're invited into, right? It's not something that we need to feel like, obviously we're not Jews. God's not saying we need to keep all the law, right? You don't even need to have a Sabbath day to be a Christian. You don't. But God is saying, I have a concept of rest, and it can take on a new meaning as Christians. It could be your Sunday worship. It could be your Sunday communion and the way you spend your Sunday. But God is saying, I am inviting you to dwell with me and to rest. And so when we practice resting, it can look different for everyone, right? But it's not just a day off where you do leisure activity. It's not just a couple hours where you binge YouTube. It's got to be spiritual. It's got to be about God. And so here's some ideas that might work for you. One, as we talk about how to find spiritual rest in God, one is just take time each day to stop, to put your phone away in another room, and just be aware of God. Think about God. Think about that as Holy Spirit's living in you. Read scripture. Read your favorite Bible verses. Have a prayer time, either with someone or by yourself, right? But just take a moment every day. I mean, really what we're talking about here is a quiet time. But make sure that it's quiet, and make sure that you can rest in God, and that it's not a distracting time, right? But do whatever you need to do to find real delight in God, and to stop your work and to rest in Him every day. So have that daily time with God to rest. Don't let the city get to you, right? But spend time with your Father. And another practical that you can do, you can like maybe set an alarm on your phone for at the top of each hour, but just check in with yourself throughout the day and ask yourself, am I at peace? Am I starting to feel anxious? Am I starting to be short with people, right? Is my work and schedule starting to affect the way I love my neighbor, right? Just check in with yourself throughout the day and ask yourself, am I resting in God? Am I letting God remind me that my value and my identity isn't in how much I get done? I know it can be hard for me to do. Another practical, if it works with your summer schedule, pick one day each week to rest. Meaning you know, you don't have your job that day, you don't have your summer classes. Maybe pick a day in the week. It could be Saturday, it could be Sunday or Monday, whatever works for you. Again, you don't have to, but maybe that would help you. Maybe that would help you be closer to God and have a great summer of spiritual growth. Maybe like Hannah said, it's just half a day. Maybe half of your Saturday from morning till 1 p.m., you make this decision with God that I'm going to let that be a time of rest with God. And you're going to do the things that rejuvenate you spiritually, right? Maybe that's what your schedule can allow, is a half a day, especially as you go back to school in the fall. But, you know, last practical is just really figure out what works for you, right? We're all different, but we're all humans made in the image of God. And God, if we're made in His image and God rested and He's God, right, then we should probably do it too. If the very God we were made in the image of rested, we need to do that as well and figure out how to do that in our day and time, right? And so again, don't forget the heart of all this. It's not about adding more rules. What we're not saying tonight is that everyone has a mandatory Sabbath. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that you're not going to be able to dwell with God and draw closer to Him if you don't take time in your week to Shabbat, to stop what you're doing and focus on Him and dwell with Him. And so we hope this was helpful for you guys. Some resources that I took to make this lesson and just have helped me over the past couple of years. One is the Bema Discipleship podcast. A lot of you know about that. Episode 1 is really good and was my introduction to the idea of spiritual rest. Michael Burns, our brother, has his podcast called the Icon Podcast that he does with a couple other disciples. They have an episode out called To Sabbath or Not to Sabbath. You can check that out as well. That it's EIKON, the Icon Podcast. There's some really good content there. We've recommended this book before, but The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry is a great read where it talks about spiritual rest. And then some of my quotes tonight were taken from Tim Mackey from the Bible Project as well, which they have some videos and articles about it, just to give you guys some resources. So we are going to stop there and just open up this time for some Q&A to take questions from you guys, as well as any responses, immediate responses from what hits you. And so just put me in the chat if there's any question you have or anything you want to share. Take a minute to think about what that might be, and we'll go from there. All right, we'll go Brittany, then Nina. Go for it, Britt.
Hi, thanks for talking about this tonight. I've always known that like the Sabbath was about like us just remembering God loves us, because I watched Bema podcast too. It's pretty cool. But I didn't really know personally how to implement that. Like how Hannah was saying, she found out what was restful to her. And I guess I just question, or even to even share like my own dilemma. Like, okay, I have long quiet times, not to say like the length matters, but to say like I do have times where I spend amount of time and I do get lost with just spending time with God, whether praying or reading the Bible. But then there's times, if I'm honest, I get bored. And not to say bored of God, but just bored in the moment of doing one thing for so long.
Yeah.
And I know I could stop and do other things, but I'm just wondering about, because I have a day in my week where I could have my Sabbath day. But I wonder if you ever had that experience of like, how, like, what do you fill your day with, you personally, that you find keeps you not just entertained, but continuously, I guess, resting with God? Because I know Netflix is not necessarily.
Well, yeah, no, that's a great question, Brittany. And to be clear, we're not saying all you should do for that half a day time of rest or full day is just read the Bible for hours on end. If you want to, that's great. But you know, it is thinking about where do you see God? You know, I see God in music. I love playing guitar, you know, on my day of rest. I love listening to music. I love getting outside, being in creation. I love watching these YouTubers that build out their vans, and it inspires me. And I'm like, wow, they made that thing. You know, like whatever kind of just brings me joy, I'll do it. And I'm not gonna, you know, we got to be careful to then not just let the algorithm get to us and then we're on Netflix and YouTube all day. But it's totally not wrong. We shouldn't be legalistic and say, man, I can't go on social media as I try to rest. But it's just kind of asking yourself, what helps me to rest? And that could be different things for everyone. So again, that could be prayer is your thing. It could be music, it could be a different hobby, it could be a really good food. You know, some people, as I read books about Sabbath, some people like making really awesome meals and they want to enjoy flavors and different cuisines, and that's a way they experience God, is I'm gonna throw down on some serious good food and have a feast, you know, like that. Hey, that's cool too. If you want more info about that, probably talk to Rob Novak. You know, he finds great enjoyment in making a good meal. But it's really up to the individual. But the important thing is that it doesn't just become a day of just binging and pleasure and just kind of like, I'm just going to be lazy today. No, it still takes intentionality to connect with God. But don't beat yourself up if you get bored after praying for a half hour or 40 minutes. We're all at different places, you know. And check out what Chelsea put in the chat as well. But does that kind of start to help to answer your question, Brittany, and bring clarity a little bit?
Yeah, it does. I think I'm going to read that in a moment. It does. I think it even makes me think not so much to spiritualize it, but it made me think about that parable Jesus talked about, like the talents, like, you know, whatever talents he's given us to kind of like incorporate that in a sense of like giving back to God, but it's also enjoyment. It's, you know, it's kind of part of just the glory God has given to us. So I'm trying to like form it out. Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. We're all learning, but yeah, it's more about the principle than the amount of time, like you said earlier. So, cool. I think we got Nina, right? Nina, then Ricky.
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, I needed this lesson today. So I was just coming out of work and Hannah's with my season. He's like, how was work? I was like, I'm tired, Hannah. Just like people who knows me and my schedule. You know, so this was very needed and how to actually rest. And I feel like just Hannah sharing about like her experience of like how rest was for her in college really exposed me to. I was like, oh, it makes sense why I don't feel as restful when I would just sleep all day during my off days or kind of just catch up on like some shows that I haven't watched in a while. Because like even after that, like doing all of that, I'm like, why do I still feel so tired?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, I feel so exposed. And I've read the scripture in Matthew 11 a lot of times, but the way you just connected everything and reading that scripture, I was like, whoa, it hits me so differently. And just even the fact that it says like, it's like I will find rest for my soul. And I feel like my soul was not rested. Like, even though physically I was like trying to, you know, I'm like taking my naps and all of that. Like I would wake up and I'm like, I feel restless. I was like, I feel irritated. I was like, oh, I'm annoyed. Like, why do I feel this way? I had my whole like nap and I watched my show. So, and just even going back to just the real quality time with God. And even yesterday, like I had me, Hannah, Rachel, like just like all the sisters we had that we reached out we were at Hunter College. We were at Hunter College. I was like tired from work. I even shared to Rachel afterwards. I was like, whoa, I was so tired when it came, but I don't know why. Now I feel so energized. I was like, I don't know where it came from. I feel like just the spiritual aspect of just sharing and being together with my sisters, spending time with them, and just having to really like, I wanted to prepare my heart. Like I haven't had that quality time with God in a while. Like I had a good, quiet time before I went because I feel like I wanted to have that right heart to go there. And I was just like, whoa, I was like, I closed the day before and today I'm doing stuff, but it's also different from it. But it's just the way I find like my Sabbath is like having that time, quality time with God. I was like, whoa, and being around sisters playing Monopoly, yeah. And I won twice. I was like, whoa, I feel even more rested. anyways, but no, I love this. It's very needed, especially this couple of like this past month of where I've been with just rest. Yeah. And I've been praying to God. I was like, God, I'm tired. Like, I don't know, do something, God. Like, I'll have my time with you, but it's not the same. I don't know why. So yeah. I'm so grateful for this. I love midweeks like this. This is why I even come, like just to be, have these lessons of just practicals and being reminded of just like to apply in my daily life. So thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being real, Nina. Appreciate everything you shared and we all relate. So yeah, I think someone on Ricky's phone.
Hey guys.
Yo, yo.
You're good, you're bad. Go. Yeah, so love the lesson.
Sorry.
Love the lesson, guys. I just wanted to share my personal experience of why like at least one day out of the week is important to like rest. So basically, for the better part of last month, well, for the entire month, I'd just say, I just kept on working. So it was either my actual job, it was either serving other people or studying for finals. So I had zero time for myself. Like, absolutely not. So whatever I made time for God was like rushed quiet times, like you were saying, and it really didn't feel spiritually fulfilling at all. I felt really disconnected from God. I'm still like recovering from that. But only recently, I think last Wednesday, that I actually have a full day to myself where I was able to take things in. It made all the difference. But during that time, I just was in such a state, all because of just not having a day to just recollect. So I definitely do agree with like the importance of this. And God knows this. We're human beings. We need rest. But like more than just like the actual sleep that you get, it has to be like genuinely spiritual rest and get your head straight.
No, amen, dude. Thanks for being real about that. Yeah, I think we all have times where God's teaching us like, hey, you need to take care of yourself. I mean, some people just call it, you know, self-care, right? But we need to have soul care. We need to think about, am I really taking care of my soul and my walk with God? And sometimes God just, the way we learn is we just literally do get burnt out and we realize, oh my goodness, I'm exhausted. And he's like, yeah, you need to go sleep and then go get some time with me, you know? But again, all of this, as we wrap this up here, is when we do rest in God and dwell with him, we're going to be way better at loving others and serving others, right? When we can get filled up by God in a consistent way, we can go serve people in need. We can study the Bible with people. We can love our families and be more patient with them, especially if you live with your family. Like if you're able to find rest in God, you're going to be a more patient person. You're going to be more compassionate. And so this isn't coming from a selfish complex of like, I just want to do what I want to do. But it's more so, no, let me really find rest in God, find my identity in him so that I can help others to find their identity in God and to not get it from their career or, you know, whatever they're hustling to do. So when we take care of ourselves, we can take care of others, right? When we let God refresh us, we can refresh others. So it's all, you know, intertwined, and it helps us to live out these other commandments. So I think that's why God started with this in Genesis, because he's like, man, if you can't do this, you're going to have a hard time, you know, administering justice and, you know, teaching scripture, and like we got to start with rest. And so guys, this was great. Thanks for your responses and questions and your sharing. We're going to close out here. You know, as always, this will be up on our campus YouTube channel for people who want to check it out. But unless anyone else has any other questions or thoughts, we can close out here in a prayer. All right. Well, let's close out in prayer. Let's see. We got a couch full of prayer warriors over here. Let's get Erica to close us out in a prayer, because she's so good at closing out in prayer.
Okay. God, thanks so much for this time together. I'm really grateful that we got to start these in-person midweeks as well. It's just restful for my soul to get to see people in the middle of the week. And I'm just really grateful for the message that Mark and Hannah brought. And please help us just focus on that through this whole summer and to really get this rest with you and just be dwelling with you 24/7 like Jesus did so well. And so, yeah, give us a great week until we see each other Friday. In Jesus' name, amen.